you on the curves.
I'm not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
One of our favorite rides at the Disney parks in general.
It is?
Is it not?
All of them?
I'm pretty sure it's one of your favorite rides overall.
I think so. We're talking about Soarin' today?
We're talking about the Soarin's.
That's good. I love that ride.
See? You do.
All except for the beginning. Like, the beginning really scares me.
Does it?
Doesn't it?
Patrick Warburton scares you?
No, of course not. When we actually get onto the ride and start going, you know, getting pulled up into the screen, I'm always afraid that my shoes are going to fall off. And, you know, it looks like people have had that happen.
I think it's potentially happened in the past for sure.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about your hat getting blown away. Not normally.
Well, hopefully not. Yeah. Even though they tell you to take them off.
Well, they do tell you that.
Yeah.
They tell you that on all rides, it seems like.
Right? Yeah. The only ones that really bother me are the ones where they make me take my glasses off. Because I can't see.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing them for a fashion look. I actually need them to see. Yeah, so when they're like, you need to take your glasses off, I'm like, well, who am I going to trust with them? You? Get your fingerprints all over them?
What rides do they make you take your glasses off?
It's usually roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Disney doesn't make me take my glasses off, but if we go to a coaster park, they make me take my glasses off sometimes.
That's why we don't like coaster parks. Disney rides are just invented to be friendly. They let you keep your stuff with you. You don't have lockers on any rides, do you?
No. They pretty much let you take a bag on almost everything.
Oh, they're so nice.
Right?
I love it.
That's why the first time we went to a park, I went to a park with you that wasn't a Disney park, and every single ride was like, you got to put all your stuff in this locker. You got to put all your stuff in this locker. And so we spent half of our time there putting things and taking things out of lockers.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
As compared to Disney.
I remember that as a kid, you had to be very cognizant of what shoes you were wearing because you can wear open-toed shoes. You would have to, you know, have very specific clothes that you had to, like, wear the whole time.
Like theme park clothes.
Yeah, but, like, Disney lets you do whatever you want.
Pretty much.
I can go in sandals for days on end there, and it's totally fine.
Don't your feet hurt afterwards?
Yeah, but it's fine. We're
so off topic. We're talking about Soarin'.
Again, they let you keep your sandals
on. They let you keep your sandals on. It was an opening day attraction at Disney California Adventure.
Can you even believe that?
In 2001.
Of all things that park has been through, Soarin' is what we have
left.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's like the only original ride. It's not really.
It's not. But it was very inventive since it was the first one. The first Soarin' was there in California.
Yeah.
And so it was a very unusual attraction. And whereas the rest of the attractions in California Adventure were pretty standard, you know, dark ride, roller coaster, Ferris wheel, that's all pretty standard kind of stuff. But Soarin' was the one standout that was like, whoa, they put something different in here.
Oh, that's fun. That is a good point.
So for those of you that don't know, Soarin' is a ride in which you are put into groups called Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, which I didn't realize that's what they were actually called. and each group has three rows of seats that you go in and you sit down on, and they're hanging chairs, so your feet aren't held up by anything. And once the ride starts, you are whooshed forward and up into a concave screen. So you get the illusion that you're flying, and they project into this huge concave screen all the environments that you're flying over.
Yeah.
And it's high.
It's fantastic.
We found that out one time when we were on it, and it broke down, and the work lights came on.
Oh, we totally got stranded on Soarin'.
And I think that's where a lot of your fear came from, is because you, once you're up there, you're not really thinking about how high up you are. But when the work lights come on and you see how high up you are, for those that are afraid of heights.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the heights.
Yeah. And Patrick Warburton warns us against that too. He says, so if you or any of your little aviators have a fear of heights.
Yeah.
You might want to wait for your party at the exit.
Yeah, we were on the Hoover Dam, and I just get terrified on the top of the Hoover Dam. Like, I just, as long as I'm like 4 or 5 feet back and I know I can't quickly be pushed over the edge, I'm fine. But like looking down.
What kind
down,
of enemies do you have that you think someone's going to push you off the Hoover Dam?
Yeah, right. But then you're like on this one, like you're like, if I just pop out of the sea, I'm in a whole lot of trouble.
That's very true.
I'll fall right through that screen.
What I loved is the first time we went on it, you did the toddler aviator thing where you put the seatbelt through the loop between your legs.
I was taking my instructions very seriously.
And I was like, no, you don't do that.
Yeah, you don't need to do that, folks. Just the seatbelt's fine.
But if you're smaller, they do have a strap that goes between the legs to make sure you don't slip out if you're like slouching or anything.
And you have it. There is a minimum height on that one, I believe, right? You have to be.
I believe it's 40 inches.
And then you get to put the little thing through your legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And it's gone through. I mean, opening day. It was an opening day California Adventure attraction, but it's gone through quite a few different iterations, even in California Adventure.
Yeah.
Since it's opened. The first one was just called Soarin' Over California, because that was their whole thing about California Adventure.
Right.
They're like, it's all about California. So you flew over like beaches and golf courses and by mountains and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And this was one of the first rides that I experienced their smell work. Is that a right word for that? Their
sure.
Their odors. I don't know how else to say it. A ride that uses your sense of smell in a way that's not like one of those 4D movies where they're like spraying you with water and like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they don't spray us with water, thank goodness.
Right. So when you were flying over the orange groves, you could smell the orange trees as you were flying over and things.
And that was about the only thing you smelled, right?
I think there was another one, but I can't recall off the top of my head. And at first, when I first did it, I thought it was a fluke. Like, I was like, gosh, it smelled like oranges as we were flying over the orange trees. I don't know whose perfume I thought I was smelling or something, but then I realized, oh no,
every single time
I did it on purpose. That's kind of cool.
But the new version of the ride, right?
The new version has all sorts of smells in it.
So good.
The new version, by the way, is called Soarin' Around the World.
Yeah.
And so it takes you, obviously, all around the world. The one where you're flying over Africa, you're flying over the elephants, and they pump in the smell of grass.
Yeah.
It almost gives me allergies. Just the smell of it gives me allergies.
I tell you what, and then there's also like Fiji. You smell that too.
You smell the water in Fiji.
And what other ones on that one do you smell so much?
You smell the rose petals when you're going over the Taj Mahal.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't like that one as nearly as much.
You don't like that one?
It doesn't really smell like roses quite the same
way. It's a little
not fake. As much as the grass, but I tell you what, like that grass smell and the same thing, the orange grove back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If they sold these in like a Bath and Body,
like a smell,
yeah,
like a room atomizer or something,
a really good high quality one. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would buy the heck out of that.
Right.
Because we've seen like the turkey legs as an air freshener,
which
you know?
Is disgusting. Why no, would you want you. A turkey leg air freshener?
No.
You.
No, but the orange air freshener would be
I would do
awesome.
It.
Or the grass.
Yeah.
Fiji's really good too.
All of the above are actually really good. It's just, I think some of them are a little artificial as opposed to what they actually should
well,
smell.
That's probably
like.
the reason I don't like the Taj Mahal one is it feels smells the only one
perfumey.
That's close to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other three smell really good. Well, it's easy to make things smell like oranges though, for some reason.
I don't know.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's a citrusy smell, so it's fairly easy. I don't know how they do the grass one because it literally smells like someone just cut grass and threw it in your face.
In a really good way.
Yeah. Except for my allergies.
Yeah, except for that. It's True.
So California Adventures opened on opening day with it. Then we got the one in Epcot in 2016.
Yeah, and that one's like in a food court.
It's in a weird, it's in the land pavilion, which I guess it kind of makes sense. But yeah, like that whole building weirds me out a little bit. It feels almost like you're in like a high school cafeteria sometimes when you're in there.
Very much so.
Because it also has like Living with the Land, the nice boat ride in there.
Which I totally forget how much I love that ride.
I love it every time because it's a break.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's true.
But then
I find it just so educational and inspiring.
Oh, education.
Like before we know it, I want to get home and I want to build my own aquaponics greenhouse system.
So yeah, it's a weird place to have it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just because the building itself, it feels weird to me.
It does feel like they could retheme that whole building.
I think that that's
keep their the two rides
at some point.
It was.
We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, it's not getting rethemed anytime soon now. Would you leave the food court in there if you were to retheme it?
Potentially, because they have restaurants in there that people really like. They have that rotating restaurant where you can sit and the restaurant turns.
Oh, is that in that building?
That's in that building, yeah.
Is it a high-end restaurant, a sit-down?
It's a sit-down.
Full service?
I think you have to make a reservation for it. I don't think you do a walk-up on that one. But I we've never done it, so I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah.
There's lots of characters in it, which I say no.
Oh, I see.
I'm not doing that.
Did not know that. Okay. Yeah.
Then we got Soarin' Over the Horizon, which went into Disney Shanghai in 2016.
Oh, what's the horizon?
What I find interesting is, so Shanghai in 2016 and Soaring Fantastic Flight went into Disney Sea in 2019. So both the Asian parks versions of Soarin' are vastly differently themed than ours, which I found interesting. The Shanghai one apparently is in kind of a American frontier land type of area. And so their connection with it is that they're with some sort of Native American shaman that like turns them into eagles to fly over.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of a cool concept, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. And then I really like the Disney Sea version because it's themed to a Renaissance type era. So think like Leonardo da Vinci style.
That is gliders, so much better.
But they're created by Society of Explorers and Adventurers member Camilla Falco, which is this really strange underground grouping of characters that Disney created that you kind of have to really pay attention to see. But they're a group of explorers, obviously, that go around the world and then bring things to the Disney parks.
Oh.
So Dr. Albert Schweitzer Falls, whatever, I can never remember his name on cue. That you hear about on the Jungle Cruise. One of them owns the Mystic Manor in is that Hong Kong?
Yeah.
They're these explorers that they've kind of inserted into different areas of the park, but people don't really know them that well. So I thought it was interesting that theirs was so different, even though, as far as I can tell, the films only differ very minimally.
Oh, really?
So, like, instead...
They take you on the same journey?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it, is that there is no dialogue in the actual film.
Yeah.
It's all just music and visual and smell, obviously. So elephants. You don't... Yeah.
They
so
make noise.
You don't have to translate it. Or worry about people not being able to read signs or anything like that, because there's none of that in there, right?
That's true. Elephants speak the same language in all countries.
It's true. An elephant is the same everywhere.
I know our American elephant.
I don't think there are any American elephants. Elephants aren't native to America.
Right.
The American elephant. And so I think the Asian countries, theirs differ only at the end, where instead of flying into Disney World Epcot or flying into Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
they're flying into DisneySea or Shanghai, respectively.
Which is the same with the two U.S. rides.
Right.
Parks also, you fly into the respective parks because you're returning back home, basically.
Right, exactly. So that's kind of the only video differences between them. But I like the fact that both DisneySea and Shanghai both have different theming around theirs.
Yeah.
To make it fit into the land where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
Yeah, because the theming around the one in California Adventure, definitely, I mean, it's weird. Like, it used to be at, like, what was that first place called? Do you remember? It was like
a Test Pilot's Grill?
But that was a specific
land. That was the grill next door.
Yeah, there was a land specifically. It was like that, like,
it was like
Pilot's Landing or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
Condor Flats. Flats.
There it is. That's what it was. And you're... And I guess that makes sense for the when it was based around the California thing, but they rethemed it, so we're now in the middle of like the pine forest of California.
It's like an airfield that they've kind of rethemed it to. So there are like airplane hangars around versus just like campground looking stuff is the kind of the idea, right?
Because it's now campground filling now. Because now they've done more pine trees and things around it.
Well, right. But before, the buildings around there had like a log cabin type of look. And now they've changed it so they look like metal buildings.
Yeah, that was a bit silly when they were changing that area over, I thought.
You didn't?
Because, right, we went there before and then they shut it down forever to retheme that area.
Right.
And then it was after that that they switched out the ride later after they reopened it again. It just felt a little bit... crazy that they would have it open. Anyway, they shut it down and then they would redo it again. Just that felt crazy.
Well, that's kind of how Disney was with California Adventure for a long time. They knew it wasn't working initially, so they were doing anything and everything they could to try to make it work better.
Yeah.
And while the area around Soarin' wasn't criticized, as far as I know, they were just kind of going for an overall park theme change, I think. So, yeah.
I guess that's right. And then after that's when they changed out the movie.
Right.
Interesting.
Because we
went from... think they did that because they couldn't put the California one in Shanghai and Tokyo Seas?
I think it's probably a fair assessment to say, yeah, they didn't want to put flying over California into Shanghai. It just doesn't make sense at all.
At all.
For them to do that.
Yeah.
But right before this last major shutdown, they actually put Soarin' over California back in at California Adventure.
Yeah, that was fun.
And they were planning on extending it through all sorts of things. I'm not sure what it will be when it comes back up. I assume it'll probably still be California, but you never know, right?
And that is fun. They can switch out the ride back and forth that way.
Well, and I think, I don't know how long the changeover is. It could be a day. Because it's all just on the screen. There isn't really a change to anything else.
That's true, because that's what they do when they switch over Guardian of the Galaxy at night.
Right.
They literally just flip a switch, basically.
Right.
And it's a whole different ride.
It's just a different light plot for you, basically.
So awesome.
I think all they would really have to do is...
clear the queue, almost.
Yeah. Get everybody out of the theater.
Like you're halfway through the queue, and they're like, you're in the next ride now.
Now you're in Soaring Over the World. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Which is interesting, because I didn't realize that the actual show, the ride, holds 87 people at a time. That's a pretty heavy
duty. It's a good amount of money. It's a good amount of people to throw up in the air.
Right. For about 5 minutes. It's about a five-minute ride. So that's 87 people per theater. And California has two theaters, and Florida has two or three.
They have three, if I remember right.
That's a lot of theaters.
There's a lot of hallways there.
Yeah, I get lost in that one.
And that's the other thing about the theming one around the one in California is that you kind of don't even know you're in it. Or I'm sorry, Epcot, you don't even really know you're in the queue, really. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like in a food court, and then you find the line, and then you start heading in there, and you're just like, and then it's really, really cool when you start getting down that hallway.
Yeah.
But it's outside of the hallway that was a little bit, you know.
Well, trippy. And they kind of theme it to an actual airport. Like, it has a departure arrival thing over the doorways, and
when you're right up on the entry into the
line.
Yeah. It'd almost be fun if you were keeping that food court there, that you theme that to be like an airport. Airport food court.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just right.
You could get away with that, right?
You could totally get away with that. because it already feels like that.
And maybe
it wouldn't take much.
Right. It would be fun if, like, on the ceiling you could project like shadows of planes flying overhead every few minutes and stuff.
That could be kind of fun.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to be the land pavilion if you theme it to an airport, but you know.
That is true. Okay, that's a bad idea. We're trying to work on it and get back to you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the way it goes.
Not all of our ideas are gems right off.
Now, I was curious to see what it cost to open the original ride.
Uh-huh.
I was really curious, you know, that's something I always love to try to figure out. Somebody online said, because Disney didn't disclose necessarily how much they spent on it.
They don't like to.
Not always, but sometimes they brag about it. So somebody said that it would cost $3.5 million to build. And I said, in your dreams. There's no way. Because remember the first...
Are you arguing with the internet?
Well, because remember the first Tower of Terror was $110 million.
Right.
And then I think the next versions, they were able to get down to like $10 million or so, I think is what they did. 17, something like that. They simplified it a bit, but then they've already came up with the technology, so it made it a lot cheaper. So obviously like the second, third ones would have been a little bit cheaper because they've already invented it. But still, $3.5 million, I find that very affordable. Right? Like Disney.
Just think of all the things you could get for $3.5 million.
It doesn't feel like they can even put together a churro cart for $3.5 million anymore. Ooh. Doesn't it? Like,
I think maybe perhaps for the actual building, it cost them that much.
That's a good point.
But legitimately, they had to kind of invent this kind of projection system, the screen, the chairlift system, which is called a cantilever system, they kind of came up with the rolling chairs and stuff. So possibly the structure itself, sure, $3.5 million for the entire structure, but I don't think that includes the innovation that had to come with the filming and the operating system.
That's a good point, because when they file building permits, a lot of times they had to put values on building permits.
Right.
Oh, that'd be interesting to go back and try to find that. But yeah, we'll have to do that. And we'll have to go on YouTube and see if we can find videos of those other ones. But I guess it's just the queue up to the rides that would be interesting. Those the two overseas rides.
Right.
That'd be fun.
Right. Well, Soarin' is a great ride if and when we get back to the parks.
Yeah.
Be sure to ride it. I remember hearing a cast member tell kids to pick up your feet when you go over the mountains, because if you kick off any rocks, they have to go and pick them up afterwards. So it's just a fun, immersive ride. And as long as your kids are not terrified of heights, it's a fun family ride that everybody can ride mostly.
Gosh, and we got aviator wings on there too one time, remember?
We got, the sticker.
That was fun.
They were passing them out to the kids, and of course, we stood in line and got ours too.
Meet and greets I won't do, but stickers, you betcha.
I need me a sticker.
That's right.
But it's like I always say, if you're going to ride Soarin', try to get in the front row so you don't have to see people's ugly walking around the park feet dangling in your face.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.